Are you ready to leave your corporate job behind and be your own boss? Have you ever dreamed of owning a business? Do you have $50,000 or more sitting around in a 401k? If you answered yes, it's time to invest in yourself by buying or starting a business or franchise. IRS code allows you to use money in a 401k to invest in a business with absolutely no penalties or taxes. At Guidant Financial, we've helped more than 11,000 entrepreneurs invest $3 billion in retirement assets into the small businesses and franchises of their dreams. So if you've got $50,000 or more in a 401k and you're looking for a way to start a business, call Guidant Financial now for free information and to learn more. Operators are standing by for your call. 800-570-6630. 800-570-6630. 800-570-6630. That's 800-570-6630.
I look in the mirror, I don't see wrinkles. When I look in the mirror, I see hair on my head, not my shoulder.
And hello, 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 this is Adrienne Berg, and this is Generation Bold, the Fountain of Truth. And excitement reigns today. Now, for about 4 years, you've been hearing me brag that I can walk 30 to 50 miles in a day. No one believes me. It's absolutely true. I am a member of something called Free Walkers, and I have to tell you that when I first started, I was able to do 3.4 minutes on a treadmill. So that's how you can build yourself up. But I never saw a real guide to being able to do that. It was all on my own, and boy, did I make mistakes. But today I have the guide for you. His name is James Klopovic, and he is the author, along with his daughter Nicole, of The Honest Backpacker. Now, you know, this is the Fountain of Truth. So this is The Honest Backpacker, a practical guide for the rookie adventurer over 50. And the point here is, know thyself. Now, I want to get into this. I want you to know in detail how you can really change your life and become an adventurer. So you're not just looking out the window at somebody else that appears to be having a good time, and why are you on the couch? James is going to help us, and I'm going to start right away, James, with this wonderful book, The Honest Backpacker. What was the motivation for you to write it?
Well, about 15 years ago, when I started getting into backpacking after being and still a lifelong lover of nature, started doing the research about backpacking and found out that there was no real reference for the novice hiker, especially the older hiker. So I decided to put together a book that was practical and talked about the process of hiking. It is a process, not only left foot, right foot, but there is a way to go about it. And I also wanted to talk about how to get more from life, as nature is that avenue to better health. You grow as an interesting person, and you maintain your zest for life. I tried to make it practical, humorous, and it tells tales from the trail, and it's an easy read.
Yeah, and you know, it's dead accurate, too. And I think that because I had to do this with a group called Free Walkers, I had my guide on my side. But most people have to do it from scratch, and honestly, I don't think it would ever have happened to me if it didn't. So let's get down to the bones of it. You have a really specific protocol, and I've learned by trial and error that this is the right protocol. So those of you who would really like to be adventurers, it doesn't always have to be Nepal, you know. We do rail trails along the Delaware. They're flat, but they're long, and they're marvelous. So let's talk first about timeline. I think it was one of the most important things that you bring out in the book. Tell us about timeline.
I have in the book timeline because after a couple of careers in logistics, I found that there's nothing like a plan. This is the general direction of how you need to prepare. One of the many advantages of it is your own. You can add, delete, modify. You can bring somebody else in. And another advantage is you can see your hike taking place physically. You build towards the end. When you finish the last to-do item, you know you're ready to be, you have some confidence to get on the trail safely, make memories, meet new people who become friends, and want to do it again. Many advantages to that timeline.
Yeah, and you know, if you're a marathoner, you can actually go on the marathon website, and they'll give you that timeline, how to prepare, how to do that. But if you're a backpacker, this is it. This is exactly the way you should be training for this and making it happen in your life, and you'll get that very clearly. You go to Amazon, you can go to your bookstore. We'll give you some websites in a minute, but it's The Honest Backpacker, A Practical Guide for the Rookie Adventurer Over 50 by the Klopovics, which is K-L-O-P-O-V-I-C, and they are people who've really done it, not just write about it. So let's talk about really done it. Physical conditioning. People think, oh, I must be like an Amazon person. But let me tell you, my experience, James, has been that my strong suit, because I'm no athlete, in fact, I got detention because I wouldn't go to gym when I was a kid, is that I have stamina. The one thing I found that you need for this that people don't talk about is stamina. How do you recommend, and it's very clear in the book again, how do you recommend people train for this physically, from the physical point of view?
From the physical point of view, if I could backtrack, Adrian, I talk about the whole person concept of conditioning, which includes the body, the mind, and the spirit. Now, specific to your question in getting your body ready, you start with diet and exercise, the elixir of health, but you do it sanely and appropriately. Diet, you just have a couple of words to live by, like no refined sugar, no refined fat, no trans fats. But now on the exercise, an important thing to remember for older hikers is don't get hurt. So an appropriate exercise is to work on your stability, mobility, flexibility, and endurance. And you do that with a variety of exercises under the guidance, hopefully, of a good conditioning coach. And you start gradually. That's a big deal. This is about a lifestyle change, not necessarily just getting ready for hiking, because getting ready for hiking is an introduction to a better way of life.
I can't emphasize too much. You know, everybody knows I'm a narcissist. I'm extremely vain. I've never met a mirror that I had to look. This keeps you very buff. It really does. I have no athletic ability, but because I'm walking all the time and I'm using sticks, I do use sticks, it even tones up the upper body, not just the lower body. So this is something that in and of itself makes you healthier. It builds on yourself. But you're absolutely right. In the book, it unpacks certain things, like interval training. And I think that's important. Aerobic training is not the only thing here. Weight training is also extremely important. But again, in incremental bites, so that you're not stressing your body. And as James says, first don't get hurt. But let's go to the nutritional part. You named the big three, which you have in your book, but you also talk about eating small meals. Let's talk a little bit about eating small meals and eating on the road.
Yes. Eating small meals actually goes back to the primal days. We were hunter-gatherers. We foraged. So we just repeat that, but it's all with the eye towards sensibility. So you start out with a balanced meal in the morning, which would have a good proportion of carbs, of fats, and the third one escapes me here. And you put those three together for each of the meals. Now, for a snack, it could be as much as a piece of fruit mid-morning. I like to have a little snack before I work out. Lunch would be the same thing, balanced. And then another snack in the afternoon. Again, it would be fruit, perhaps a little cottage cheese. And then in the evening, have the three-part combination there to balance it out. But don't eat heavy. Try not to eat before you go to bed. And you'll find that you learn to eat. You learn to eat well. For example, an idea is learn to shop around the edges of a grocery store, because that's where you'll find the foods that that grow in the earth and not walk on it, and learn to read labels.
Now, one of the reasons that you didn't mention protein is he's not a meat eater, this guy, and I told my kids I'm a fishitarian, but they laughed. They said, "No, Mom, you're a pescatarian." I said, "Well, no, I'm from Brooklyn. In Brooklyn, you're a fishitarian." But the fact is that there is light protein here, beans and fish. And you know what? It's everything you know you're supposed to eat. And if you do that, it works. I have to give you, though, James, one disappointment I had. I think it's a big deal to 30 to 50 miles. I can't believe I do it. So I thought I was going to lose a ton of weight. But the truth is, you lose about 300 calories an hour when you're just plain walking. That's not true of hiking and hard walking, but it's only 300 calories. So don't get too excited that the pounds are going to fall off you and you can eat anything you want. You cannot. You eat right, as you'll learn in The Backpacker. And so you have to, you know, if you have to take donuts on the road, it's not going to work for you, even though psychologically you think, oh, the pounds must be rushing off. It's not true. That was my one disappointment. We're speaking with James Klopovic. He is the Honest Backpacker, author, a practical guide for the rookie adventurer over 50. Now, we're going to take a little bit of a break. We're going to come back, and we're going to go from body to mind. I think that one of the major themes, let's say, running through the book is the idea that you're a whole person, is the idea of mindfulness, is the idea that getting into the woods, into the wild, seeing nature, not only makes you change, but the people around you are different, or at least you're relating to them in a very different way. And that's the excitement of it. I mean, we started our show talking about what you need to do, and I don't want it to sound onerous, but it's a commitment. Why would you bother, actually, to make such a commitment? Well, we'll tell you in just a moment how this can change your life. Don't you go anywhere.
Because I am happy, and I freely admit I'm inappropriate for my age. Da-da-da-da.
If Ernest Hemingway was alive today, would he say this to you?
Shakespeare, Mark Twain, Edgar Allan Poe, all great writers. And after reading your book, I simply must add you to the list.
Wait, you don't have a book yet. So make a free call to Page Publishing. Their expert staff can help you turn your book idea into a real book, a masterpiece that could someday make the bestseller list in hard copy and digitally all across the world. Page Publishing can help you completely take your idea for a book, write it, and publish it. So if you want to join the ranks of some of the most famous authors in the world, call now for a free information kit. Turn your book idea into publishing gold. Make a free call right now to Page Publishing.
888-785-0618. 888-785-0618. 888-785-0618. That's 888-785-0618.
Hi, I'm Joan London. If you're worried about your parent or loved one living alone, like I was, and you want reliable senior care information, then call A Place for Mom, the nation's largest senior living referral service.
Finding an apartment that was on the courtyard with the view of the trees, the view of the ducks, the stream, the creek, all of that, that was what I needed.
You'll get free information on assisted living, Alzheimer's care, nursing homes, even important financial information. Here's the number.
To speak to a local senior living advisor, call A Place for Mom at 800-506-0320. That's 800-506-0320.
A Place for Mom is a free service, and you can trust them to help you. So if you're struggling to find reliable senior living information, there's a place for answers, A Place for Mom.
To speak to a local senior living advisor, call A Place for Mom at 800-506-0320. That's 800-506-0320.
This alert just came in. This special announcement is for business owners and leaders of organizations who've been waiting for the right time to build. General Steel has made it impossible to wait any longer with rock-bottom prices that could save you thousands. That's right, General Steel, America's leader in pre-engineered structures, is offering buildings at prices you will never see again. Don't miss these prices. A 50 by 100 for under $30,000. You heard right. That's 5,000 square feet under $30,000. Manufacturers, if you need a larger building, try a 100 by 100 commercial building for $129,000. You can't afford to rent with these prices. Imagine a 70 by 100 foot church building for under $69,000. With the economy improving and interest rates still at historic lows, you can't afford to wait.
Call 800-605-5370. 800-605-5370. Call 800-605-5370.
Here's George Foreman with InventHelp.
Hi, I'm George Foreman. Do you have an idea for a new product or invention? People ask me all the time, George, how do I get my idea in front of companies? How do I get a patent? What do I do next? Do you have the same questions? I'll tell you like I'll tell them all. Call my friends at InventHelp.
Call InventHelp today for free information. InventHelp has been helping inventors for more than 30 years and has sales offices nationwide. InventHelp can submit your invention to companies who are interested in receiving new ideas. If you have an idea and want to try to patent it and submit it to companies, you should call InventHelp today for free information.
Listen, I can't guarantee a company will be interested in your idea, but I believe every inventor deserves the opportunity to step into the ring and take their best shot. Put InventHelp in your corner.
To get your free inventor's information, call 1-800-351-1453. That's 1-800-351-1453. Again, 1-800-351-1453.
Biz Talk Radio.
I'm inappropriate for my age. Da, da, da.
And hello, hello, hello. Once again, this is Adrienne Berg, and this is Generation Bold, the Fountain of Truth. And we're here with an author of a book that is very close to my heart. It is called The Honest Backpacker, A Practical Guide for the Rookie Adventurer Over 50. It's written by a father and daughter team, James Klopovic, who's with us now, and his daughter, Nicole. Before we go any further, you can get this book almost anywhere, James, and you also have your own website, so tell everybody where they can get the book and the website that you've created for it.
Yes. First, start out with the website, honestbackpacker.com, and you can order the book from Amazon. That's print and ebook, and they are available through your local bookstore also. It's just about wherever you go for a book, you can find Honest Backpacker.
And let me tell you, we were talking about nutrition, physicality, the fact that it ends up in a wonderful timeline where you have made your plan. And it sounds like, gee, this is a commitment. This is a lot of work. Do I really want to do this? Well, if it was just to lose weight or if it was just to look good even, no, that's not enough. There's honestly a higher purpose to this. And I want to throw this to James now as he talks about mindfulness, nature, what it really does for you on a whole other level, way past physicality. Go ahead, James.
Yes. I talk about nature as it has been my experience as the gateway to a better life. Yes, you will get in shape. Yes, you will become a far more interesting person, but then in the end, you will re-energize or gather about you a zest for life. And a way that I can explain that is when you get out on the trail, I encourage you to think about the art of the walk. The art of the walk is when your footfalls match the pacing of your poles, match your breathing. I personally like to breathe in with three steps and breathe out with three steps. What happens is it's a very meditative routine. You become mindful on the trail. And by being in nature, you're about as far away from the stressors of the day that you can get. And oh, the things that you will realize. Insights, you know, the appreciating nature, things that you would wish to do and resolve to do. So nature brings that about. And I do hope that if you do take your iPhone, you will at least turn it off when you do this.
Actually, we're going to talk about technology and safety in a minute, but I have to bring this out because there's no way to show this on television. There's no way to explain this on radio. People say, how do you walk 30 miles or 50 miles? Let me explain to you. Sometimes I don't know I've done it. I will look up and raise my consciousness to what I'm around and realize that I've been meditating maybe for 5 miles, and I'm 5 miles further down my track. It's perfectly safe. I know where I am. It's not like driving in a car, which we all have a mind lapse sometimes, and we wonder, we get scared sometimes. We wake up in the car. We haven't been asleep, but, you know, that could be dangerous. This isn't. This is just what James is talking about, this meditative state you get into, and miles just float away. And when you become more conscious of the now, you end up with insights that you never have had before. And this is across the board. Everybody will tell you this. This isn't just two kookaboos, James and Adrian, coming up with this stuff. Everybody will tell you this, right? But let's talk a minute, though, about safety. I worry about it. I explain to James, I don't know my left from my right. There's fancy words from it, but I really don't. So you give wonderful hints and tips in the book about being safe. And what do you think about the technology, the best kind of technology to have with you when you're on the trails?
Well, the first thing is to be able to stay in contact. And I'm talking about the longer hike. And usually on these longer hikes, take the Appalachian Trail, for example, you're pretty much connected all along the way, connected in two ways. If you conserve your battery, you will have phone connection, but you're very close to towns along the way, which you'll use for resupply. So at the very minimum, you can take an iPhone, but turn it off to conserve your battery. When you go to town, fire it back up again. A lot of people also like to take a little iPod for music. Again, you have to worry about charging it and carrying an extra battery. That's extra weight, but it is very convenient. Some people even take a pocket recorder to record all the insights that they have. That's another thing, too. While this diverges from the technology, do take something to take notes with. You will have realizations and insights that you're going to want to remember and repeat to other people. So at least start out with the iPhone, but conserve it. There's all sorts of things that you can use with that. Get used to using, for example, the GPS that it has and so forth. So that's it.
And that is it, because one of the things James tells you in big letters, 35 pounds, no more. So let's talk a minute while we have about 2 minutes of time. What is your favorite gear? Yeah, give us a little bit about gear.
Right. Start simply. And you build, as with most physical endeavors of sports and so forth, you build from the ground up. Start with shoes. You will want to have shoes that are durable, light, and keep you as dry as possible. You can either have tennis shoes or leather-bound shoes. Move further up the body, and you want to start out with perhaps a good fanny pack. As the name implies, it's very light, fits on your hips. You can carry water, a snack, maybe a first aid kit. Going further up, get a good set of poles and learn to walk with them. I like to say walk with them until you can have a conversation with your poles. And then continuing up the body, get a good broad-brimmed hat. Those four pieces of basic equipment, and you're hiking. From there, you will gain experience and information on how to build on that without spending too much extra money. That's how I would start.
Now, if you're really going to do this, whether it's a hiking or a walking that you have in your future, in a group or alone, look at the book, because it will save you hundreds of dollars, honestly, in getting the wrong stuff and getting too much stuff. Also, socks that wick, underwear that wick. It's really worth it because you're going to sweat, folks. And don't say fanny pack in England. Both James and I went on one of the coastal walks, and fanny means something different to them than it does to us. So don't use that word, because they looked at me in horror when I... Yeah. So we have been talking with James Klopovic, the Honest Backpacker, a practical guide for the rookie adventurer over 50. Honestbackpacker.com is where you want to go. Amazon is where you want to go. Look, do this. And by the way, one of the things that would horrify James is if you just read the book on your couch and that was it, and then you never used it. No! Use it. Get out there. Make it happen. Thank you so much for being with us today, James.
It's my pleasure. Thank you.
Now, when we come back, we're going to go, 360 degrees. We're going to talk about your rights as a patient. Remember, this is Generation Bold, the Fountain of Truth. For those of you who want to know more about this book, by the way, go to generationboldradio.com, and you're going to be able to not only listen live on Sunday, your local station, but we'll archive it. So, patient's rights on your mind. Don't you go anywhere. We'll be right back.
and I freely admit I'm inappropriate for my age. Da 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 da. Da 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 da.
Hi, I'm Minnie Driver. Ovarian cancer can affect women of all ages, even in their 20s. There's no early detection test, and symptoms can be subtle. So know your risk factors, such as family history of cancer and presence of gene mutations like BRCA. Take control of your health. Talk to your family and your doctor. The sooner the better. Meanwhile, we'll continue our collaborative research into diagnosis and treatment. To learn more, go to su2c.org/ovarian.
Due to an upturn in the economy, Main Street Business Loans has pre-approved the release of millions of dollars in small business funding. Your business may already be pre-approved to receive up to $250,000. We've sent out millions of pre-approval letters. We see the economy growing, and our underwriters believe now is the time to invest in your business so you can grow faster and make more money. And we're prepared to give you up to $250,000 to do it. Your funds can be available in 5 days. There are no application fees, no annual fees, just quick access to up to $250,000. If your business did not receive your approval letter to get up to $250,000, call Main Street Business Loans Approval Desk now.
800-430-7570. 800-430-7570. 800-430-7570. That's 800-430-7570.
Have you heard about BizTV? BizTV is the home for America's entrepreneurs, small businesses, and those who want to succeed in life. It's the only national television network committed to airing original, high-quality, educational, and inspirational programming about real business people. BizTV can provide the right kind of ideas, motivation, and education to help fuel the next generation of business owners. Visit BizTV.com and call your satellite or cable service provider to request BizTV.
I owed the IRS $10,000.
The IRS garnished my wages.
They put a lien on my house.
The IRS is the most powerful collection agency in the world. They do not give up until you pay.
I couldn't sleep. We were being audited. I called Tax Solutions Now, and a great big weight was lifted off my shoulders.
I called Tax Solutions Now, and they got the IRS off my back.
Tax Solutions Now had my wage garnishment lifted in 48 hours.
Tax Solutions Now can get you help. Our agents know the rules, can stop the pain, and get you the best deal. We connect you with a team of former IRS agents and tax professionals who will get the IRS off your back.
We saved our home and overcame the most powerful collection agency in the world.
Call Tax Solutions Now. Time is running out.
Call 800-979-0166. 800-979-0166. 800-979-0166. 800-979-0166.
Tired of paying outrageous prices for Viagra? Well, we have great news for you. Now you can finally get Viagra at huge discounts. Healthy Man allows you to save up to $500 on Viagra. Why pay U.S. pharmacy prices of $15 per pill or more when you can get Viagra for less than $3 a pill? Call today and get 40 Viagra pills for only $99. This can cost as much as $600 at your local pharmacy. You can't afford not to call us. If you want Viagra at the lowest prices, never pay $15 a pill pharmacy prices again. Get Viagra for less than $3 a pill. Call 1-800-521-9579 today and save up to $500 and get 40 pills for just $99. Healthy Man is fast, easy, and affordable. Operators are waiting at 1-800-521-9579 to take your call right now. Call 1-800-521-9579. That's 1-800-521-9579. Again, 1-800-521-9579.
If you're over the age of 50 and considering buying an annuity in the next 60 days, I have some important news for you. Don't buy an annuity until you understand the pros and cons of annuities. A free book to help you maximize your retirement income from television host and three-time author Josh Melberg has been released. This book reveals little-known truths about annuity strategies in simple-to-understand terms. Grab a pen right now because we are about to offer you this free book that unlocks the five little-known secrets we believe baby boomers and seniors should know before buying an annuity. Call 800-935-0752 now and you'll receive a free copy of Josh Melberg's book, Next Gen Annuity Strategies Revealed. As a bonus, we'll also send you a copy of The Number One Mistakes Retirees Are Making With Their Investments Today and a free DVD on how you can get up to 33% more income in retirement. Call 800-935-0752. That's 800-935-0752. Employees of J.T. Melberg Financial have the appropriate licenses for the products they offer.
Biz Talk Radio.
I'm inappropriate for my age. Da, 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 da.
And hello, hello, hello once again, and we are going into the second half of our show. It's running away with us. This is Adrienne Berg. This is Generation Bold, the Fountain of Truth. And, of course, we always have the best in experts. Experts you could never, ever access in any other way but this show, and I'm very, very proud of this. And one of those experts is Dr. Kirsty Haywood. She's in Philadelphia right now at a very special conference. I wonder if you know that there's such a thing as the International Society for Quality of Life Research. Well, Dr. Haywood certainly knows it, and she is presenting to professionals something called the Good Practice Guidance for Patient Engagement in Research. And so what we're going to be talking about today is, what is this International Society for Quality of Life Research? Where can you find information about it? How does it affect you? What is patient engagement? And what can you do to make yourself more involved in your own self-care? These are the kinds of things that you need to know if you're really going to age successfully and enjoy that retirement that we have been looking forward to. So thank you, Dr. Haywood, for being with us. And let's unpack this right away. Tell us a little bit about the organization, the International Society for Quality of Life Research.
Good morning, Adrienne, and thank you very much for the opportunity to come and talk to you and to share all about ISOQOL and the patient engagement activities that we're undertaking. So ISOQOL is the International Society for Quality of Life Research. It was established in 1993, and it's a non-profit society focused on health-related quality of life and patient-centered outcomes. And the goal of the society is to enhance the quality of healthcare and to promote the health of people worldwide. The two main focus points for enhancing quality of life are patient-reported outcomes, but also patient engagement. And ISOQOL provides a premier opportunity for people in quality of life fields to connect, network, and to reach goals. And I guess a few years ago, we started to really get a much better sense of how important really listening to patients is and really getting a sense of how they can inform and help us to understand better what quality of life is. And so in seeking to engage more fully with patients as partners in this research process, we, ISOQOL, supported the first patient engagement scholars. So in 2014, we actually started to engage with patients as partners of coming along and joining in with the conference. So it wasn't just focused on clinicians and health professionals and researchers, but we're actually really seeking to get the patient's voice well and truly embedded within the society. So the kind of research and activities that we're undertaking really do have a strong focus on what matters to patients and keeping patients very much at the heart of the kind of research that we're undertaking.
You know, I'm fascinated by this, and I'm frustrated by it too. I'm going to say that this really is a collaboration. Healthcare should be a collaboration between the professionals and the patients, and it's the collaborative effort that you're identifying here. But from my point of view, from the point of view of Generation Bold, where I say, get out there, kids, and make it happen, we're very involved with having people take charge of their own lives. And I'm going to be blunt about this. I see women who engage in the healthcare system very proactive, ready to tell their story, ready to listen, and ready to really talk to their professionals. And I see men stonewall it. I honestly wonder if your research shows that there's a difference in the way men and women engage in later life when they have some kind of physical issue, and whether there has to be a different protocol and a different mindset of the health professional when it comes to gender. I know you're not supposed to say that. It's not politically correct. But, boy, empirically, I see it everywhere. Does it show up at all in the research?
I think you raised several very, very important points, Adrian. And I think what I'd like to speak to is how we would wish to work collaboratively with patients as partners in the research process. So some of the questions you raise about whether or not men are more as engaged as women, what we would hope to do early on in the research process is to get various stakeholders on board, so men and women, involved in defining the research questions and really helping us to understand how we can better engage with all different stakeholders in the research process. So the diversity issues that you raise are clearly really important, and gender is just one of those issues. And I think you're absolutely right in that if we work in isolation, we as clinicians and health professionals working often in our ivory towers have a very different sense of how we should or could engage or seek to reach out to different members of the populations. But actually, if we invite different members of those key populations and try to reflect that diversity and invite them to be an active member of the research team, so they sit with us at the same table, we have transparency in the way in which we work together, and we seek to not only define the key priorities that are really important, not just to health professionals, but to members of those different populations, define those research questions and really work together on the best way in which we conduct the research so that we can seek to engage more fully, then what we hope to achieve is much better quality research that really has relevance to the lives and well-being of the people that we serve with our healthcare.
And, you know, I wish this to be the case, because I honestly do believe that what we bring to the table as patients is extremely important. And we also feel that there's a psychological benefit when the doctor, the healthcare professional, even the home health worker, doesn't have to be a super skilled individual, but they're working with us from a healthcare point of view. When they get us, it's very simple. It all boils down to the healthcare professional gets us, and we're willing to share. So, but what I hear from doctors, and this is mostly doctors, but I bet it's the same, I don't know if you are facing this reality, is the issue of time. I don't know one doctor that doesn't complain that they don't have enough time with their patients because of the constraints of insurance and how much time they can spend and just the practicalities of the business. Does this at all come up in terms of how to improve patient engagement, how much time we have, and how to maximize that time?
I think that's a really good point that certainly researchers within ISOCOL are really trying to address with the use of patient-reported outcome measures. So patient-reported outcome measures are questionnaires that seek to better understand how patients feel, what they can and cannot do, how they live their lives. But if we develop those measures in collaboration with patients so that they co-produce the information and have these questionnaires at hand that provide really relevant information to the health professional and to the patient, they can really enhance that communication and that engagement during that those kind of consultations with health professionals, but also support shared decision-making. Now, early on in the kind of idea of integrating PROMs into routine practice, there was this fear that it was just going to add another barrier or be really time-consuming. But actually, the evidence suggests that it doesn't increase the time of the consultation, but it actually enhances the quality of the consultation so that patients are able to better communicate the things that really matter to them, and that information is received more readily in many ways by the clinician, so that together patients can work together with a health professional to really work out a plan of action together, and a plan of action that really addresses what matters to patients. And I guess that looks at engagement in two different ways. It's engagement in a way that allows patients to work more closely together with their health professionals to really drive towards the things that really matter. But from a research perspective, we are working together with patients as active partners in that research process to really hone the kind of questions that we think are or patients say are important. So, for example, in their consultation with a clinician, it could be, you know, I really don't feel that I'm getting my point across, and how can we make that better? Well, we wish to work together with patients in that process to hone the research question, but hone it in a way that has direct applicability to their real-life experiences.
And, you know, this is a terrific breakthrough. You know, we're speaking with Christy Hayward, Dr. Hayward. We're talking about the International Society for Quality of Life Research. And in the minute we have left, there are a few wonderful websites that you need to send people to if they really care about the involvement of their healthcare professionals and how they could see what's happening in this enormously important trend. Just give us a couple of the websites that they could look at.
Certainly. If people are really interested in getting involved in research projects and helping to inform the way in which that research is undertaken and ensuring that the patient's voice is embedded throughout that process, certainly in the U.S., a group that I could refer people to is the Patient-Centered Outcomes Research Institute. And this is the only U.S. funder who requires meaningful involvement of patients and other end users in research that it funds. So if you're really interested in really making your voice heard clearly throughout that research initiative and the way in which it then impacts upon the way in which healthcare is undertaken, I would urge you to go to PCORI.org and seek to identify ways in which you can become more involved. From a UK perspective, but of course you can access this information on involve.org. And Involve is a leading organization in the UK that has really sought to define the way in which we can engage more fully with members of the public and patients in working together as partners to co-produce and co-deliver research that really addresses the issues that matter most to people who live in their day-to-day lives with these key challenges.
All right, now we're going to give you a couple of more resources for yourself, but this is the way. You can no longer complain that this system has nothing to do with you. You have something to do with it. We'll be right back. Don't you go anywhere.
I'm inappropriate for my age. Da-da-da-da.
National Funding Group has just released $100 million in easy access small business funding to businesses that gross at least $100,000 a year. You can have fast access up to $500,000 in new business capital in as little as 48 hours. Think about the ways you could grow your business if you had up to $500,000 cash infusion. Call a NFG funding expert now. The process is easy. It only takes about 5 minutes. Then our management-owned lending team looks at your application for a fast approval. You can get 100% funded in about 2 days. If you need up to $500,000 in working capital to run your business and you gross at least $100,000 a year, call NFG and apply today. 800-296-1564. 800-296-1564. 800-296-1564. That's 800-296-1564.
You became a nurse for a lot of reasons. You care about people, and you love taking care of them. Being a nurse is who you are. But today, many medical facilities require nursing candidates to have bachelor's degrees, so you're probably going to want to have that degree. But you work. You may have a family. How can you possibly fit getting your bachelor's degree in your already tight schedule? With the online RN to BSN Bridge Program at Independence University, our online learning model helps you balance your work, your family, and your desire to move up in your nursing career. Class sizes are small and personal, and we're 100% focused on helping you through the program so you can earn your degree. An IU's online RN to BSN program is accredited by the Commission on Collegiate Nursing Education. Our goal is to help you achieve your goals. Independence University's online RN to BSN program. Call now.
888-904-1986. 888-904-1986. 888-904-1986. That's 888-904-1986.
If your credit card bills have gotten out of hand, call Consolidated Credit now. If you're making the minimum payments, but your balance is just not going down, call Consolidated Credit now. If the interest rates on your credit cards are so high, it will take years to get out of debt, call Consolidated Credit now. They've helped over 5 million people with credit card debt. They can consolidate your debts into one lower payment, reduce your interest rates, and get you out of debt fast. If you're struggling with credit card debt, the first step is yours. Call Consolidated Credit now. Call 800-350-3241. 800-350-3241. That's 800-350-3241. Consolidated Credit Counseling Services Incorporated, 5701 West Sunrise Boulevard, Fort Lauderdale, Florida, 33313. Not a loan company. Licensed by the New York Department of Financial Services and by the Vermont Department of Financial Regulation. Maryland DM-19, Oregon DM-80031. Licensed by the Virginia State Corporation Commission. License number DC-32.
What is term life insurance? It's basically a financial protection plan for your family if you pass away. It can be a hard purchase. Think about it. It's one of the few major purchases you can make that you will personally never use. But you've got to have it to protect your family. and you owe it to yourself to shop and compare to get the best possible rates. For term life insurance policies of $500,000 or more, call the Term Lifeline today.
800-957-6068. That's 800-957-6068. Remember, we specialize in term life insurance policies of $500,000 or more, and we have great rates for smokers too. So call today. 800-957-6068. 800-957-6068. That's 800-957-6068.
If you're suffering from hearing loss, stay tuned for a special offer from the makers of Listen Clear, a revolutionary hearing aid breakthrough designed by top audio engineers to fit your ear almost invisibly. Right now, you can try Listen Clear hearing aids absolutely free for 45 days. You can also qualify for free shipping and free batteries for life. Listen Clear hearing aids are so lightweight and comfortable, you can wear them all day long. They're practically invisible too, so others won't even notice you're wearing them. And the best part is, you'll be able to hear almost everything, everywhere. So do something about your hearing loss. Call Listen Clear now to get started with your 45-day risk-free hearing aid trial. This special offer won't be available for long, so call Listen Clear now.
800-716-4650. 800-716-4650. 800-716-4650. We're here 24 hours a day to help. That's 800-716-4650.
Biz Talk Radio.
And hello, hello, hello. This is Adrienne Berg, and this is Generation Bold, the Fountain of Truth. I am so proud of this show. You know, everybody knows I'm a narcissist and very vain. No, I'm not proud of me. I'm proud of the show because there's no place else that the guests can come on that you would never meet. And you can be a part of it. And how do you do that? You go to GenerationBoldRadio.com. You see, it'll say, Ask Adrienne. And then you can not only ask me a question, that's great, I'll get it to any of my guests who are the experts or myself, but more importantly, tell me what you want to hear about. Tell me who you would like to be on this show. We have a very, very wide reach. Probably there's no one you can name that I can't get to in some way to spend a few minutes with us together every single week. So it is your show. And one of the things that you talk about and complain about, let's face it, is patient engagement, which is a fancy way for saying that some of you think that you're not part of your own healthcare process. Well, not so. Dr. Kirsty Hayward is here. She's talking to us about the International Society for Quality of Life Research. It's just a new way of looking at patient engagement. She's going to explain how you could be part of it in a moment. She's explaining it right now at an important conference in Philadelphia with healthcare professionals. She's presenting good practice guidance for patient engagement in research. So let's talk about that. There is a website you can go to. You may never have heard of the society. You should know about it. The website is isoqol.org. isoqol.org. And as always, on our website, we'll have this website, we'll have others that Dr. Hayward already gave us on the show, where if you want to get involved in this kind of research as not the professional, but the patient, how much respect and actually how much clout you'll have. So explain to us, Dr. Hayward, the difference between this kind of research with patients and what we may think of as a patient study.
Certainly, and they're really important distinctions to make. I think historically people have been involved in research as participants in the research, so invited to complete a survey, invited to take part in interviews or focus groups, or to take part in a clinical trial, for example. And whilst they are still really important parts of the research process that we'd, of course, always encourage people if they can and they feel so inclined to take part in, that, you know, we always need participants. But increasingly it's recognized that often research is conducted in a way that doesn't work best for patients. So perhaps questionnaires are not that user-friendly, or trials are not developed in a way that actually means that it's easy for patients to take part in them. And so increasingly we recognize that by working together with patients as partners, so active partners in the process, where they become research collaborators, and we recognize the experience-based evidence, experience-based experts in many ways, is how we think about patients as partners in the research process. This is where we think about patient engagement. The definition of patient engagement is where patients are active collaborators in the research process. So they are invited to sit at the research table with the clinicians, the health professional, the health professionals and the research methodologists to really help us to think more differently about the way in which we would frame a research question so it really has relevance to the patients and the end users of the research, as it were, but not only in helping us to think about the research question, but perhaps working hand in hand in the way in which we define the way in which the research will be undertaken. And increasingly we have patients working together as co-producers of that research. So, for example, some great examples research with older people where they work together as interviewers. So they come along and they interview participants in the research, then work together to analyze that data and to refine the themes and to help to co-produce the message that comes out of that research. And we found that that can be an incredibly useful way of getting much better quality data.
Sure, because people are relating to people who are like them. They are
Absolutely.
Older. They are talking to people who are older, and they're much more forthcoming. I think that's important. We talked at the first part of the show about demographics, whether men and women and maybe people of different ethnicities relate differently to their healthcare providers, and it would make a lot of sense to get I look at it almost as cultural competency here. What's the cultural competency that the healthcare professional or researcher has with who their patient really is? You know, so I think that that's an important one, and I'm just wondering if you've come across a research project that has surprised you or that you think is top of the line. You know, what's lighting you up these days in addition to just this new concept of how it's done?
Okay, so I guess a really good groundbreaking example of where patients made such a difference is in the world of rheumatology, and there's a group called OMERACT, Outcome Measures in Rheumatology, and they work to develop core outcome sets for clinical trials, and a core outcome set is trying to get some consistency in the way in which we measure outcomes across clinical trials, so that it's, for example, when you're comparing trials together, you're comparing the same measures, as it were. And historically, that decision had been very much driven by clinicians and health economists and members of the pharmaceutical industry, and the focus had been on pain and stiffness and maybe reduced range of movement. And, of course, they are important issues. But when we then started to talk to patients to say, so what do you think about this? What's really important to you? They were important, but what patients really rated as the most important outcome, a good outcome would look like, would be a reduction in their fatigue. And that was something that historically had been very much neglected, perhaps because we didn't know how to ask about it or indeed what to do about it. So the whole fatigue agenda has become huge in recent years, and that has been very much driven by the importance of recognizing the patient's view and the patient's perspective and giving a credibility and legitimacy to that experiential learning, experiential knowledge. And I think more recently, some work that I've been personally involved in is with cardiac arrest research and resuscitation research, and recognizing that historically, we've just not asked survivors of cardiac arrest how they are. So that judgment has been very much driven by the perspective of clinicians and working together with patients as partners in this process, so not just as participants in the research process, but sitting with survivors and their advocates and their family members and partners at the same table, really starting to define and to understand actually the survival is, of course, the most important outcome if you've had a cardiac arrest. But what happens
but
after survival? Yeah,
that's
exactly.
That's the question, right?
Exactly. And often people are, you know, nothing happens. You survive, you've got a pulse, that's great. But actually, we really need to be exploring more fully with survivors and their family members how their life is affected and the challenges that they have moving forward. And we only seek to understand that better when we engage with patients fully. And, of course, we mentioned those diversity issues earlier, but there are challenges there with regards to the complexities of their health and well-being once they survive a cardiac arrest, that we really need that fineness of understanding that comes from talking to survivors and their family members.
Well, this is terrific, and this is a new perspective for all of us. And as we get to the end of the show, just remind everybody, it's your life, your world. So get out there, kids, and make it happen.
The opinions you hear on Biz Talk Radio are those of the hosts, callers, and guests, and do not necessarily reflect those of this station, Biz Talk Radio, its management, or advertisers. The information on Biz Talk Radio does not constitute a recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or securities. Please consult a professional before investing. If you have any questions about Biz Talk Radio, contact us at 817-274-1609 or at biztalkradio.com.
Biz Talk Radio.